there's going to be negative consequences if you go around it, if you go under it, if you go over it, if you go, you know, everything aside from actually going through it, there are worse consequences on the other side, because then you don't expose yourself to actually what you're truly capable of, which is going through it.
So I'll tap into that inner part of me, that more guide part of me, and I'll tap into her, and I'll have that part kind of guide, like that fearful, anxious part of me, guide it out of that.
Most of us are looking for hope, answers to the madness, certainty that we'll be okay, and someone safe to help guide us through the most challenging parts of our lives. In a world that's changing and evolving every single day, where chaos, uncertainty, and cycles we never chose wreak havoc on our lives, it's easy to feel lost, hopeless, and scared of what the future will hold.
Evolve Ventures is here to provide that hope, direction, and data-driven strategies to growth-minded human beings just like you every Monday and Thursdays, where each new episode is filled with vulnerable stories, interesting lessons, and simple tools you can use that will help you evolve into the person you were always meant to be. My name's Emilia.
And I'm Bianca.
And as the co-founders of Evolve Ventures, we are so grateful to be a part of your evolution. Let's get into it.
Hey, everybody, it's Bianca.
And it's Emilia.
Welcome to another episode of Evolve Ventures, where we are helping growth-minded humans evolve by breaking one limiting belief at a time. We hope you enjoyed the last episode, number 285, Motivation Monday, three surefire ways to feel more confident. For today, 286, how to ease your anxiety. Anxiety is something that every single one of us experiences. It just depends on how much and how often, but every single one of us experiences anxiety to some degree in our life. And what we're going to be diving into today is, what are three steps that you can start to take to really work through that anxiety when it's not serving you, to really work through that anxiety when it feels like it's taking you over? Because unfortunately, for a lot of people, and probably for you if you're listening to this, anxiety is something that really feels overwhelming and feels like you don't have a handle on it. So that is what we're going to be diving into today. Em, do you want to start with number one?
Yeah, and I want to kind of start as we lean into these three things and kind of think, for everyone that's joining us in this dialogue, first of all, we're grateful that you're here. And second of all, I want you to think about what is maybe the situation that in the past has maybe triggered or induced your anxiety. Because I know for me, there is a whole laundry list of them. And I go back to like remembering a very, very intimate time for me in my development, which was when I had to give presentations, when I had to publicly speak or speak in front of the class. That was like super scary to me and very anxiety inducing. You know, if we had a project and having to speak in front of the class, and I think it's quite ironic because here we are on a global top 200 podcast and heard all around the world, and here we are. This is the byproduct of exposure therapy, essentially, of what we're going to get into. But for me, that was one. When I knew that I had this project, I loved it up until the day where I was sitting in my seat watching all of my friends or all of my classmates present, knowing where I was in the lineup. And if you have ever experienced that, you know literally the visceral feeling that can come with like sweating. You can't even listen to what they're saying. You don't even know, you're like clapping, but really you're just freaking out. Slowly it's progressing. The anxiety is building because you know that you're up next. And that can be really scary. And psychologically, what is happening is just that anxiety is coming up. So whether it's you standing in front of the class giving a presentation, public speaking at work, maybe you're talking to a leadership, you're having like a little platform on your leadership team meeting, you are having a difficult conversation with a staff member of yours, or let's say, for example, your child, you're having to have a dialogue that really makes you uncomfortable, or there's a conflict in your relationship and you're wanting to bring that up. Or let's just say, for example, you're leaving your house and going to a family holiday party. One of those, there's a probability that it is already igniting the anxiety, because like Bianca said, we all experience anxiety. And that's the thing. I don't want anyone walking away from this episode thinking that because I experience anxiety, there's something wrong with me. It is a fundamental neurochemical aspect that every single human being experiences. It's just a matter of what are some of your triggers, what degree of self-awareness you have around it, and what adaptive and effective coping mechanisms can you have to navigate and ease your anxiety? Because it is a natural thing of life. It will continue to be. And the more in which you avoid it, the worse it's going to get. Instead of taking this path, which we're going to suggest in this episode and highly recommend, given our clinical background, our experiences, et cetera, how to work more towards an adaptive easing approach. And that's what we're going to get into. So step number one with that is the self-awareness. Like I had said with my example of, you know, speaking in front of my classmates, I was aware of it. And that didn't necessarily make it any better, but it helped me understand what the triggers were and what the narratives were when I had to go give a presentation or when I had to publicly speak. So now fast forward, here Bianca and I are, and we host a live virtual event every single month. There's a little bit of those butterflies, especially when we first got started and hosting Out of the Mud live events. The butterflies used to come. Those butterflies were the self-awareness. When you notice those, the anxiety that's creeping up. Oh my God, I'm about to, you know, speak to 20, 15 people right now and breathe into their lives. My anxiousness that's coming from this is, well, what if I mess up? What if I say something that negatively impacts someone? What if? Who's been there? Raise your hand if you're an offender or you have a part of you that just constantly is paying attention to the what if. The step number one to that, though, is self-awareness of how active and hyperactive those thoughts are when it comes to the induction of anxiety.
And number two, what are the situations that are likely to induce that anxiety? What are the situations that you know really like get that anxiety welling up in you and those anxious thoughts really running amok? Number two is removing and working through triggers. So I said this to Amelia when we first dove in and she started laughing because she's like, I knew you were going to say that. I am not an advocate of removing triggers when it comes to this. I want to make sure that I say that very, very bluntly. When it comes to anxiety, the best way to work through it is going through it. So exposure. There are some instances where, yes, you should remove the trigger, right? There are some instances where you should not be exposing yourself to that and you really should just exit away. Like if it's a toxic relationship, remove the trigger, right? Don't just keep diving headfirst into it. But when it comes to anxiety, working through the triggers, identifying what they are. What is it that, using number one, what is it that's scaring me? What am I so afraid of? What are the maybe really scary, catastrophizing thoughts that I'm having? And how are these impacting me? So once you know what those are, number two, you start addressing them. I will give an example. I said this in the last episode. This morning, because we recorded the last episode and the one that we're recording right now in the same span. So this morning, I sent someone that I don't know a DM, someone that I was attracted to and that I was interested in. And that is something for me that has been really anxiety inducing and anxiety provoking, you know, all the anxious thoughts of, are they going to like me? Are they going to think I'm weird? Do I seem attractive enough, like internally and externally? What's the energy that I give off? Am I going to seem creepy? Whatever. All of that maladaptive, really harmful, negative internal dialogue started coming up. That was my anxiety. So what did I do? I actually acknowledged it. I said, okay, I notice I'm having these thoughts. I notice I'm having these things come up. These sensations are coming up within my body. And then I did it anyways. I got exposure for myself and sent the message knowing that I was feeling the way that I did because I knew I am not in any real danger here. There's no real harm. I'm not going to actually die, even though I might feel like I'm going to. I'm safe. I am okay. Whatever the outcome that happens, whether I get a message back or not, and regardless of what the message says, at least I did it. And that's all that matters. I got the exposure. So number two, working through, processing through, and removing the triggers that are coming up for you by really working through them.
And one of the benefits to that too that I want to mention is like even that step number one, the self-awareness. Okay, your physiology is telling you something. Maybe you do feel the butterflies. I remember seeing something that articulated this so beautifully, and the working through, or if necessary, removing a trigger, right? The butterflies that you feel are an indicator that something great is coming. And so even that redirection of a narrative can be really helpful. I remember hearing all the time in my narrative and in my upbringing, you can't go around it, you can't go over it, you can't go under it, you gotta go through it. And that was from like an old, I don't even know, like a song that we used to sing as kids when I was younger. And it's so true when it comes to anxiety. You can't go around it. Well, you can. And there's going to be negative consequences if you go around it, if you go under it, if you go over it, if you go, you know, everything aside from actually going through it, there are worse consequences on the other side, because then you don't expose yourself to actually what you're truly capable of, which is going through it. And if you just are always removing the triggers that are inducing anxiety, and this is where, like, for example, helicopter parenting comes to mind. Helicopter parenting is when all the time, if a kid is experiencing anxiety, the first go-to for helicopter parents is just remove all of the triggers that put a child into a anxiety-inducing state or fearful state. So let's say, for example, you know, they go and they had an ice cream and the ice cream fell. And so, you know, the parents don't want that experience for their child because their child ends up crying when they say, hey, let's go for an ice cream, Jimmy. And Jimmy starts crying and is just induced through that anxiety because he didn't have a positive experience. A helicopter parent would remove that opportunity for Jimmy to go get ice cream and maybe some Jimmy's on top. And what is the benefit of that? The sad downside of that is if you remove that trigger, Jimmy is never going to understand how to navigate through a situation like that. And while that's playful and I'm dying too, you don't have the opportunity to work through it, to go through it. So those butterflies that you feel, the self-awareness that you have around your anxiety, when it's induced, how it's triggered, why it's triggered, and the narratives that are underneath that, you remove the ability to actually work through it, which is a fundamental life skill that is absolutely critical for healthy functioning adults, healthy functioning children, healthy functioning teens, tweens, whatever.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to jump on here. My name is Julie, and I wanted to give a huge shout out to Evolve Ventures and to my coaching with Bianca. I'm like many of you. It's like I've read all the books, suffered from depression, on medications, tried everything, and then I did a free coaching with Bianca. Free, right? Oh my gosh, that day changed my life. I blurted out to Bianca things that I had never even really thought about myself. And I ended up setting up coaching with her. And I know so many of us say, oh, we can't afford coaching. But let me tell you, all those little things to make you feel better, use that money to invest in you, because you don't need those cookies to feel happy anymore. You don't need those restaurants to feel happy anymore. When you know how to be happy yourself, I can now acknowledge things and I can work through it. I definitely recommend Evolve Ventures and Bianca.
So, you can't go under it, you can't go around it, can't go over it, you gotta go through it. Yeah, step number three. So how do you ease your anxiety? Step number three. Like I mentioned with that very innocent but very real situation with that child, Jimmy, it's a lot easier to just remove the trigger, right? Poor Jimmy, we love you. It's a lot easier to just remove those things, right? Because especially if you're in this situation, the parents, maybe they both work or maybe they're super overwhelmed and they're going through a hard time. It's a lot easier to just remove the triggers that make your kid maybe have an outburst or a tantrum or that's inducing their anxiety. While it might be easier in the moment, the long term is at stake. And so what's really, really critical here is that step number three, which is develop a strategy. And if you don't know how to do it by yourself, this is where coaches and therapists come into as godsends, or as people who should have wings and who we should acknowledge and celebrate the heck out of. And this could even look like social workers. This could look like anybody who is familiar with the psychology and developmental aspects that are involved with the neuroscience that we're talking about. Anxiety-provoking, anxiety-inducing experiences. Have a strategy and come up with a strategy that can ease the anxiety no matter what the situation is. And what I would recommend is have a couple of go-to strategies to ease your anxiety. So for example, leading by example, for me, whenever I notice that anxiety is being induced or anxiety is being triggered, the self-awareness is go-to number one, right? Then I ask myself, do I need to remove this trigger because it actually is not good for me long-term, or is it something that I can work through? If the answer is it's something that I can work through, even though I might not feel like it, and even though I might be catastrophizing right now, okay, I'm going to work through it. Then step number three comes in. What is a strategy that will help me work through this? Well, I know number one, I need to regulate my central nervous system because I'm already in my mind headed into fight, flight, freeze, fawn, whatever my stress response is. So number one to regulate that, I know without a shadow of a doubt, is box breathing. Box breathing, number one, is a great strategy. Strategy number two, I'm going to give, and then B, I want to kind of bump it over to you for you to give two different strategies that you would go to. When you can regulate your breathing, you can regulate your thoughts. And step number two is regulating what thoughts you're having and listening, pretty much tuning into the narrative that you're experiencing. So for example, if it's Jimmy in this case, and he has a strategy that has been developed and meant to go to in times like this, whether it is because of his parents, they helped him with this, or because he got a therapist or a coach, he can now go to kind of turning the light inwardly and saying, well, what are some of the thoughts that I'm having? Well, oh my gosh, last time I went to the ice cream store, my ice cream fell and it ruined my experience. You know, if he could tune into, well, that was a really hurtful, sad experience for me and it ruined the whole moment. If he can tune into that thought, what are the chances that he can go into a more healthy narrative, a more productive narrative that can help him recognize that that might not happen and is less probable to happen the next time around? B, what are some of your strategies that you would recommend for anyone who is having anxiety? And this is as they work through it.
So you stole mine. So give me a second so I can come up with a couple other ones. I actually did this morning. One of the ones that I use is I'll tap into my inner cheerleader. So I'll tap into that inner part of me, that more guide part of me. And I'll tap into her and I'll have that part kind of guide, like that fearful, anxious part of me, guide it out of that. So I kind of like having a conversation with myself, right? Like the different parts of me kind of talking to each other. Oh, yeah. The different parts of me talking to each other, saying, okay, this is a fear. What really bad is going to happen? Like realistically, if you were to do this, what's the downside? How bad is it actually going to be? You know, what's the possibility of your biggest fear happening? So kind of doing that cognitive restructuring, Socratic questioning with myself is a really, really big one for me. Number two, what I would say is do a grounding technique. If you're noticing that your physical, like your physiological responses are really, really high, and maybe the box breathing isn't helping yet, or you're not in a place where you're ready to do that yet, do a grounding technique. So whether that's progressive muscle relaxation, where you're clenching and relaxing different parts of your muscles from your head to your toes, whether it's the 5-4-3-2-1 technique, so like five things you can see, four things you can smell or hear, touching all the senses, so like something you can taste, something you can see, something you can smell, something you can hear, something you can touch, going through that and grounding yourself. And then when you're in a more grounded place, then you can do some box breathing. Then you can do the inner narrative work that I was talking about and really trying to work through the negative internal dialogue that's generating these anxious thoughts and these anxious physiological sensations.
Yeah. Love that. And I also want to add a couple other ones too that are some of my faves and that clients have given feedback that are really helpful. So the six-pack exercise. And no, I'm not talking about abs. Don't do get down, drop down, give me 20. This is more so the six-pack exercise of what else could happen that's in my favor. So when you're in an anxiety state or an anxiety flood, when you kind of paint the picture and kind of tap into that creative spirit of yours that says, well, my anxiety is because it's likely catastrophizing whatever's going to happen, or it's really focused in, let's be real, the fear aspects. If you shift the focal point of your unconscious narrative to more of a creative of what could happen that's in a favorable light for you by coming up with 6 alternative outcomes or experiences that you could have, it really shifts into, well, oh, okay, maybe that's not going to happen, but maybe when I go get the ice cream, they actually have a new flavor that I actually love and ends up becoming my favorite for life. Oh, another example of what could happen is on the way there, I actually have a really great conversation with my mom and I learned something about her that I never knew before. And that really bonds our relationship. Or when I'm there, I actually recognize I like rainbow sprinkles more than I like chocolate. And I finally admit that to myself. And you know what? I'm going to love rainbows for life like Amelia. And or some other situations, right? And just painting the picture of what could the alternative narrative that actually works in your favor of some good things that actually really could happen. And that taps into a different layer within your narrative, yes, but also your brain. Shifting gears a little bit more to that prefrontal cortex away from the amygdala, the fear-inducing back primitive state of your brain that is easy to go into when you are experiencing anxiety, which is why the catastrophization thoughts and catastrophizing the situation that's inducing this anxiety continues to be the easiest go-to when you're in that state. So the grounding techniques Bianca mentioned, the 5-4-3-2-1, that's super, super helpful. And the last thing that I would also say is a lot of people, especially neurodivergents like myself, love sensory stuff. So for example, if I'm experiencing anxiety, something like a rock, I have a rub stone that's always in my pocket. And usually I'll like rub that. It's like a worry stone, but it's not necessarily for anything to encourage the worries. It's rather to like rub a sensory item that is satisfying for the unconscious to kind of work through that frenetic energy out into something else. Or maybe you might not have a weighted blanket with you wherever you go in life, but if you could have something in your awareness, maybe it's taking off your shoes and rubbing your feet on the carpet that you're at, or maybe it's, I don't know, a bracelet that you have and really kind of counting the different beads that you have on it. Like some things like those activities can really help you, again, calm down your central nervous system, redirect your focus, redirect your thoughts, and allow a little bit more space for you to work through and ease the anxiety.
If you need help doing this, this is not an easy task. This is something that Amelia and I have been practicing for years and things that we are teaching our clients to do. If this is something that you are struggling with and want help with, please DM us. We do free calls every single week. We have time on our calendar set aside. Or if you want to just DM us and just talk to us through DM and get some help, that is also absolutely something that you can do. M, what is your episode suggestion?
My episode suggestion is 273 Motivation Monday. What can you remove to add? A lot of the times we have anxiety because there's new or novelty in our life and we might not have exposure to it. And so oftentimes when we remove so many things that are, you know, easy for us, that can help us create more space to work through what's novel, what's new in an adaptive space that allows us to apply these 3 steps. What about you?
270, why we engage in self-harm. A lot of people who struggle with anxiety end up engaging in self-harming behaviors, and no, self-harming is not just cutting, and we talk about that in that episode. A lot of people engage in self-harming behaviors because they don't know how to navigate the anxiety that they are feeling. So that is a phenomenal episode, honestly, for everybody to listen to. I really recommend everybody listen to that episode. All right, friends, have a wonderful week. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone. We know firsthand how important it is to have a safe space with people who support and celebrate your evolution. That's why we created our free live virtual event called Out of the Mud that we host the last Wednesday of every single month
7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that while you venture into new territories of your growth, you can get in a room with others who are too. Extraordinary topics with evolved people. That's what this event is all about. What's great too is that you don't even need to have your camera or mic on. You can just listen in. Click the link in the show notes to register for the next topic to kickstart your growth.
Be on the lookout for our IG Lives that we host every Friday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is a place where you can connect with us live and in a fun, lighthearted way. We are also in the process of rolling out group coaching and online courses, and these are sure to help you evolve into a greater version of yourself.
If this episode resonated with you, or you heard something you know will help you evolve, please share it with someone you love and care about, team members across the world, or someone who you believe deeply could benefit from joining this discussion.
This content is intended for information purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional counseling or psychotherapy, medical advice, diagnoses, or treatment, and does not constitute medical or other professional advice. Names and identifiable personal details mentioned in respective podcast episodes and stories may have been changed to protect personal privacy and identity.